Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, my name is Rhiannon Leo Jameson. I'm from the Northeast Millerton Library, and
I'm Margaret Hask. I'm with the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
We hold to discuss back to school and homeschooling, and what are your experiences with that?
Well, so we've made some inroads with the homeschooling network in the area, but we haven't really reached a level that we'd like to reach with them. We, of course, all of our kids' activities are open to, the homeschool children in the area. And for a while, we did have briefly a group of homeschoolers coming in sort of an organized way to play with Legos, because we have, a million pieces of Lego. That may not even be an exaggeration. We have a lot of Lego. And the kids will come in and play with that. But it just didn't really click that much with all of the parents. So they kind of just drifted off. The one thing that I have done for the homeschooling families is I've lifted the number of books they can check out. I made a separate category in our system for homeschooled families, and normally we have a limit of a number of books people can take out. It's pretty generous. It's like 50 or something, because, sometimes the easy books people would take out stacks, and, that's great. We want that to happen. But this one particular homeschool family we have has 7 children that they're homeschooling, and she would take out well over 100 books a month because she was, working with her kids on all these topics. So I had to make a special category for her and raise the number of books. But even with that, and even with, the number of really nice children's activities we have, I don't feel like we've had the success we would like to have with the homeschoolers. What about you? What's happening in Millerton?
I feel like we might be in the same boat, because over the years it's ebbed and flowed. We definitely have a handful of homeschooling children that come into our programs, because they'll often find that, like, the things we're already doing are aligning with whatever core they just happen to be on, sometimes by luck.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be nice to be more connected with them again, to see what kind of things they're looking for and how, we can incorporate that into our planning. But it's always, we've had medium success, I would say, kind of thing. We, of course, have them coming in, checking out books, which is wonderful, but we'd like to, of course, get everybody coming to more programs and that kind of checking out more books.
Absolutely. And do you feel that the number of homeschoolers is growing in your area or changing in any way?
Yes, especially in the last couple of years. We've been hearing that more and more, parents choosing to homeschool their kids for various reasons. For some of them, private school isn't really an option for them, but they want something different than what our school district is providing. So homeschooling ends up being the only option for them.
I'm told that our homeschooling population in Cornwall and this area is growing as well. It seems to have to do with the vaccine requirements, actually, for some parents. Because there's no longer, I understand, there's no longer a religious exemption to vaccines. So that's a problem for some parents, and that's keeping them out of the public schools. So, I don't know. I heard this from, an employee here, so I haven't checked it out myself. But
I wouldn't be surprised if we have something similar. I know in our case, at least the families that we were speaking with, that's not so much a concern for them. But just kind of to the degree of necessarily what their children are being taught they want, maybe having conflicts in the school with some other students, it usually ends up being more of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad homeschooling is an option for these kids.
Some students just flourish. It's amazing. Some of them just come out of their shells all of a sudden. But for other children, public school or private school is really what works best for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So what are you doing now for the kids who are in school now that kids are back in school, are you doing anything new or different with them?
We have a new youth services program person who started at the beginning of the summer.
Uh-huh.
But thankfully, because we knew, you know, coming into a summer reading program, fresh into community and having to plan it is an extraordinarily difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very grateful that our previous youth services person actually planned out the bulk of the summer reading. So now that that's finished, she is starting to implement her own program. So it's kind of interesting to see what's coming up. But I'll tell you about that later.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. We did try a reading challenge this summer, but it didn't really go anywhere. So the kids read lots of books in Cornwall, so we're not particularly concerned about it. But we did give it a shot, but it didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see how that's all changed in the last couple of years. When I first started in libraries, like 14 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, that was very much the thing, keeping track, you know, giving reports on what you read, and it seems to have, you know, softened a bit in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and the kids are reading plenty, you know, around here, so I don't have any concern about it. I don't think the kids are not reading because it's summertime. I think they're still reading a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the best readers seem to be continuing to read a whole lot.
Yeah, the kids that are already into it have, like, no problems during the summer. They just keep on going.
And I did really load up on new books for the summer. And one nice thing is that the grade school here, CCS, loans me all their award-winning books for the summer that I can offer those to the children as well. And then when school starts up again, you know, I have to send them back to them. But that's a nice little extra thing we have because we do have a pretty large summer population here and a lot of kids visiting, a lot of grandkids visiting. And so it's nice to have some extra books on the shelves and a lot of, you know, new excellent books. It's really a benefit to us. I'm grateful for that.
What do you think your most requested book is then?
The one I got recently, I got the set of the Fly Guy books, which I had not heard of. Have you heard of those?
They were very popular here, and then it left for a little while, and I feel like it started to come back.
I got requests for them, I only had one on the shelf. I bought the whole series because kids were asking for it. And it's sort of a funny series, you know. I think kids like humor in their books, and it's nice. It hits right at that point where the kids are reading independently, but it's not, you know, they're not terribly challenging books. Beginning readers can read them, and they're funny and they're engaging. So it's really a nice little step into reading, you know, more difficult books.
Yeah, for us it tends, hands down, Dungeons and Dragons books.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Huh.
I think sometimes if we had only that in our YA section. Everyone would still be happy.
Right.
I have never seen a set of books go out more from that section, besides like Twilight or something.
The Twilight books still go out a lot, yeah, for sure.
We'll even have as kids as young as 8 or 9 take these books out, and even kids that aren't big readers, just because the game has now gripped them and it's so engaging for them that they are now reading. They have to read the guides to get the rules, to get the monsters, to get the characters, and it's amazing.
It's real, you know. I think it goes back to that little phrase that's been said to me quite a few times, which is that reading is reading. So, you know, if the child is interested in whatever you've handed them, you know, a graphic book, you know, whatever it is, and you may not think it's the best book for them, but if they're reading, they're reading, and they're intrigued, and they're it's all going to help them. It's all going to help them read. And so if kids are, you know, fascinated by Dungeons and Dragons, they'll make their way through the book. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, and it's it gives them a little more incentive, too, if they're not the kind of reader that, you know, they're only going to do the assigned reading that they're required to do for school. It gives them a little more motivation, I guess, because their friends are doing it. They want to be able to participate in the game. So it's kind of like, it's just great to see, like,
that's fantastic.
You know, like, see, this is reading, this is what we're talking about. Like, not everything is, you know, what you're going to have at school.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's great. So what are you doing in the future? Like, what's coming up for you in this month and next month?
Oh, well, we have one of our new programs that we're excited about is that every 2 weeks we're going to have kids learning to crochet.
Oh, wonderful.
So our first one is on September 21st mm-hmm. at 1 o'clock, but they're going to be learning a little how to crochet a little well. It's going to be very sweet. But every 2 weeks they can come in, they can get help making their whale or whatever they're currently working on, or they can learn how to make something else. And we're hoping that, you know, we get a nice little group of kids that we can start, like, really making these little, like, creatures that they have. I forget what they're called, but you can, because it's crochet, you can really, like, make anything. You can make little dolls, you can make little animals, and they're really cute.
I think I've seen some of those little creatures before, and they're really mm-hmm. very appealing. They're very cute.
There's a special term for them, but I'm completely blanking out on what it is right now.
But I know I've seen them, and they're very cute. So you're doing that every other week? Is that what you said?
Yep, every 2 weeks, starting on the 21st.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So how about you? Do you have anything
else? We started up our after-school art program again. It's one day a week, and we have an art project and a little bit of a snack, and then usually they wind up playing outdoors for a while as well. And that is such a popular program that we have to require registration and limit it to, I think we limit it to 15 kids, yep, because one time we had 40 children show up for it. And we're a small library, and 40 kids is just, it was just crazy. My poor director of children's programs was running up and down the stairs to the attic, grabbing supplies, you know, for more kids because so many kids were showing up. It was great.
That's wonderful.
But we just weren't prepared for it. So now we limit it to 15 kids per week. And it's every Wednesday afternoon. And if they have an early dismissal, then, we do it earlier in the day. So we always have the kids right after school. One nice feature is that the kids can take the school bus to the library, so the parents don't have to pick up and drop off and then pick up again. They can just take the bus here, and then the parents pick them up after school. So
that's great.
That's really a very nice program. We're very pleased with that. And then we've started up our storybook hour again, which we kind of put on hold for the summer because the woman who does that program was away. So every Thursday morning we have Miss Rita, who brings a series of books and a snack and sometimes a little craft project as well. And then she also does that the second Saturday of the month. So, we've started up our kids' things again. It's nice to be back in the routine.
Yeah. It's always fun to, like, when it comes, like, that end of the summer, this time of year, it's like, seeing all your, like, locals start really coming back in again and start doing some of those familiar favorites again.
yeah, it's fun. It is good. And do you have anything big for adults coming up, I wonder?
We have a big, we're actually hosting a Q&A with the Millerton News at the end of the month. I believe it's September 27th. Yes, September 27th. It is at 5:30, so it's going to be ice cream party Q&A.
Oh, wow. Well, that'll bring people in. That's great.
Yeah. I was like, they always pick out the best ice cream. This is the second time we're doing it. The first time is from Chase Home Farm. Ice cream is delicious.
Mm.
But it's a nice opportunity to come and talk to the editors and some of the writers about what they want from their local newspaper and, you know, what they're doing right, what they'd like to see more of. Being a non-for-profit, you know, it lets them to be more responsive and things like that. So we're excited to be able to host this at the end of the month.
That's interesting. I might think about that for the Cornwall Library because that sounds like a great program.
It does very well, and it gives you an insight on, like, how the paper is made because you can hear them, you know, converse with people, and it's more of like a panel. But, you know, I I don't know what goes into making a newspaper.
Right.
So they get to share it with the patron community and why they may be doing things this way or why, you know, in the future they're going to do things another way. And it's nice to see them be responsive to our community's needs, but also get to learn, you know, how everything goes into making a paper.
yeah, fantastic. Well, we have one good author talk, excellent author talk coming up. Francine Prose is going to talk about her latest book, 1974, which is about her involvement with the Pentagon Papers.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting, and that's on September 21st at 4 o'clock. So we have a lot of good things online as well.
I think we might be at the end of our time.
Okay, it was fun talking to you.
Yeah, it was great to talk with you too.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.